Good morning. Welcome to worship today at St. Mark's. Very special welcome to our worship guests and friends and family who are here. We are pleased that we are able to share the Word of God with you today. A very special thank you to the parents who maybe woke children up a little bit earlier than on a normal Sunday so that they could share their voices with us and praise God and share the Word in song today. So thank you for the extra effort that all of you made to get your children here. And thank you in advance for sharing your voices with us, kids. We praise God for you and thank God for your voices today. This Sunday is our celebration of the Festival of Pentecost. That's the day that God made good on Jesus' promise to send the Holy Spirit to his disciples, to his New Testament church. A promise that he continues to keep every time you and I go to him and we open up his word, we go to him in prayer. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit is there to bless us through word and sacrament. May God so bless us as we remember the day of Pentecost and thank God for his gift of the Holy Spirit. The order of worship that will follow is printed for you completely in the worship booklet. For today, we open with our opening hymn, hymn 723. It's hymn in the 700s, so it's in the blue hymn book in front of you, number 723. Let us worship the Lord.
Thank you.
service continues on page 3 in the worship booklet. Please stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
We could never know anything about Christ, believe in him, or have him for our Lord, unless it were offered to us and granted to our hearts by the Holy Spirit through the preaching of the gospel.
No one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit.
The Spirit has his own congregation in the world, which is the mother that conceives and bears every Christian through God's word. Through the word he reveals and preaches, he illumines and kindles hearts so that they understand, accept, cling to, and persevere in the word.
The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory.
I do believe that there is upon earth a little holy group and congregation of pure saints under one head, Christ. This group is called together by the Holy Spirit in one faith, one mind and understanding, with many different gifts. I am also a part and member of this same group, a sharer and a joint owner of all the goods it possesses.
There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, and through all, and in all.
In this Christian church, we have forgiveness of sin, which is wrought through the holy sacraments and absolution, and through all kinds of comforting promises from the entire gospel. God's grace is secured through Christ, and sanctification is wrought by the Holy Spirit through God's word, in the unity of the Christian church.
Jesus said to his disciples, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven.
We have already received creation. Redemption is also finished. But the Holy Spirit carries on his work without ceasing to the last day. For that purpose, he has appointed a congregation upon earth by which he speaks and does everything. For he has not yet brought together all his Christian church or granted all forgiveness. Therefore, we believe in him who daily brings us into the fellowship of this Christian church through the word.
Jesus said, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd.
We could never grasp the knowledge of the Father's grace and favor except through the Lord Christ. Jesus is a mirror of the fatherly heart, outside of whom we see nothing but an angry and terrible judge. But we also could not know anything about Christ unless it had been revealed by the Holy Spirit.
We have not received the gift of the world, but the Spirit.
Lord, if you are in the highest, and peace in the sea, Lord,
Holy Spirit, God and Lord, come to us this joyful day with your sevenfold gift of grace. Rekindle in our hearts the holy fire of your love, that in a true and living faith we may tell abroad the glory of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Father, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. The first lesson is recorded in Ezekiel chapter 37. This lesson will be the basis for my sermon today. It's a picture that God used to encourage and equip his Old Testament people to trust in him. And it's a picture that we will take and apply to our hearts and our lives today to see why we too are God's confident people. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "O sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you, and make flesh come upon you, and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken when I have done it, declares the Lord."
This is the word of the Lord. The psalm of the day for this morning on page 8 is Psalm 104. The cantor will introduce the refrain, and then we will repeat the refrain, and then the cantor sings the refrain, and then the congregation will join with the cantor in singing the refrain.
Spirit of God, maker of all, we sing your praises, glory to you.
Spirit of God, maker of all, we sing your praises, glory to you.
Second lesson is recorded in Acts chapter 2. This is the historical event of the day of Pentecost on which God poured out the Holy Spirit on his people. And St. Peter makes the connection to the Old Testament. Luke makes the same connection to the Old Testament. We praise God that he is the God who keeps his promises. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of the Lord.
Alleluia, alleluia. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Alleluia, alleluia.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this day is recorded in the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 14.
Glory be to you, O Lord. Glory be to you, O Lord.
In this lesson, Jesus makes you a promise that brings you peace. Jesus said to his disciples, "All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Following the children's song, we'll join together in the hymn of the day, number 176.
Oh,
Grace and peace to you from him who was, and who is to come, and from the sevenfold Spirit before the throne, who lives to give you life through your Savior Jesus. I have a little bit of a guessing game for you to start off with today. I have some hints and some clues, and then I will reveal to you what I'm talking about. There's one of these on just about every campus, at least every campus that I've ever been on, both college and in high school. And this thing lives in a particular room on the campus, usually in the biology room or in the science room. The particular one in my high school classroom in Watertown, Wisconsin, was a 5-foot-nothing Frenchman who had a bullet hole in the back of his head. Rumor or legend has it, I'm not sure which it is, that he was shot in the back of the head during World War II when he was murdered by the enemy. And whether or not that legend is fact doesn't really matter. What is fact is that he is still hanging in my high school classroom to this day in a little glass case. We have one too. The one on our campus usually sits down in the science room. And it's dead too. Do you have an idea of what I'm talking about? It's a skeleton, and I have one. Now let's just say for a minute, let's just pretend for a minute that this is a fake one. The one that we had was really real. Our little Frenchman, he was a real skeleton. But let's just say for a minute that there's something we could do to kind of hide the fact that this guy is dead. Or maybe there's something that we could actually do to bring him back to life. Maybe make him a little easier to look at. We could do something like this. We could do that. Right? And we could dress him up a little bit. Might make him easier to look at. It could hide some of his death. But is he any more alive than he was before? No, he's not. Let's say that we could get all the right permits to do something like this. But let's say that we went down to the morgue and we got stretchy tendons and we stretched tendons everywhere that this guy needed some tendons. And then we got some cartilage and we stuffed cartilage wherever this guy needed some cartilage. And then we would get some muscles and we would pack muscles wherever this guy needs muscles. And then we could weave veins and arteries through those muscles. And then we could get all the organs and we could push the organs up under his rib cage and then we could cover it all up with skin again. And then we attach him to a car battery and we give him a shock. He's not coming back to life, is he? Not even if we would take him to Mercy or to Sutter or Kaiser or Davis or Stanford, anywhere, and get him the very best advanced medical care and maybe get a really high-powered defibrillator. He's dead, and he is not coming back to life again. It's impossible for us to bring life from death. But that is the exact picture that God shares with us in the first lesson for this morning. And as neat and impressive and as spectacular as that must have been to see these dead, dry bones come back to life, how much more amazing and powerful is God's promise that he can take what is spiritually dead and make it spiritually alive again? That's the promise that God made to Ezekiel and to his people in the Old Testament, and that's the same promise that God makes to us today too. God does the impossible. Through the Spirit of the Lord, God makes us alive again, God makes us healthy again, God makes us strong and confident again. Here's the fascinating story, the scene. The hand of the Lord was upon me, Ezekiel said, and he brought me up by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. And God could have chosen lots of different ways to bring life to these dead, dry bones. He could have done something spectacular like fire from heaven. He had a habit of doing that in the Old Testament. Fire from heaven came down and made these bones alive again, but he didn't. He could have had Ezekiel do something like force lightning right out of Star Wars, coming right out of Ezekiel's hands as he raised the dead, but he didn't. He could have caused a great eclipse like he did at other times. Maybe smoke pouring out of Ezekiel's ears and lightning shooting out of his eyes, and a vast army stands before the prophet, but he doesn't. In fact, what he does is quite boring. And what he does isn't going to win any, movie awards for scene of the year. This is what he does. The Lord said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Where's the thunder? Where's the lightning? Where's the smoke? Where's the fire? Where's the spectacle? But has it ever been that way with the Lord? Does God do the almighty, all-powerful through a great spectacle? Well, sure, he does sometimes through his miracles. And definitely the day of Pentecost had some spectacle to it. But where was the power of God even on the day of Pentecost? Where was the power of God in the valley of dead, dry bones? It was in the power of the word that the Lord shared with the prophet Ezekiel. When the Lord spoke, powerful, amazing things happened. Just as the word of the Lord did the powerful and the amazing things in the valley of the dead, dry bones, the word of God continues to do powerful and amazing things today. It certainly did on the day of Pentecost. In the valley, the Lord said, this is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. God's people were at a serious risk at this time in their relationship with God and their history with the Lord. You may recall why they were wasting away, dying in the land of Babylon instead of worshiping the Lord in Jerusalem, instead of sleeping in their homes and in their beds at night, because they had lost faith in the Lord. They wandered from the Lord. They took the spiritual life that God had given them and they threw it away. They said, I don't want this. I don't need this anymore. Spiritually dead people were now dying in a foreign land, and there was nothing they could do about that. But God promised to do something miraculous for them. God spoke, and the most powerful man in the world just let them go back to Jerusalem. God spoke, and spiritually dead people were made spiritually alive again. Just think what that powerful display of the Holy Spirit's power meant for Peter and for the rest of the disciples as they were charged with going and starting building up the New Testament church. Jesus made them a promise. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. And Jesus delivered on the day of Pentecost, didn't he? Because just imagine what this must have been like for these guys. Yes, they were made again. They were children of God, just like you and I are children of God. They had full faith in Jesus as their Savior. However, even after his resurrection, even after he appeared to them, they still had that question. Jesus, are you at this time going to restore Israel? They still weren't able to put all of Jesus' life and his ministry, all of his teaching, even his life and death and resurrection, they couldn't put all that together. They didn't fully understand what Jesus was about and what his life and death meant for them and for the people that they were going to minister to. Then Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, and then they were able to understand. Then they knew what Jesus' life meant for them, and that gave them comfort. They knew what Jesus' resurrection meant for them, and that gave them hope. They knew the power that could come only from the Holy Spirit, and then they were bold enough to go and do what Jesus charged them with. Go and start this New Testament church. Same promise God has made to you and to me. Titus chapter 3, go there often if you are ever doubting the power of the Holy Spirit in your heart and in your life. When the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. The Spirit of the Lord has done the impossible. He has given life where there was death. He has given new life where there was only death. And he has brought us into a relationship with himself. So the encouragement from God today is, don't put on your dead, dry bones again. The encouragement from God today is, don't go living like you're in some sort of spiritual masquerade, where you walk around like a bunch of spiritual zombies who do not know the Lord, who do not know what God has done for you. Don't go around ripping off the new skin that God has given you through your baptism when you heard the word of God. Don't go around ripping the new, beautiful, vibrant heart that God has put into your heart through your holy baptism. Don't go around ripping that out. Don't go around living like you don't know who God is and what God has done for you. It's pretty tempting to, though, isn't it? Because there's sometimes that it looks really good. The world around you can make it seem pretty neat. The culture that you live in can make it seem pretty acceptable. Even your friends can get you to think that this is a lot of fun. But we need to stop and ask ourselves, where does any of that lead? Whatever it is in your life, whatever it is that you have grabbed onto or you believe in or you think is a lot of fun or you think is really neat or you think you need, whatever it is, where does it lead you? It eats away at the new skin that God gave you in Jesus. It eats away at your heart. It eats away at your relationship with God. It turns you into dead, dry, spiritual bones. And it leads you to a valley of dead, dry bones. A place that God has made. A place that God has prepared. A place that God calls hell. For people who either do not have time for him, who never heard about him, or people who were given new life and chose this instead. It makes no sense for us to take off what God has put onto us. It makes no sense for us to rip out of our chests the new heart that God has put in here. It makes no sense for us to not listen to the new minds that God has given us, but we do, don't we? And I know you do because I do it too. But it leads us nowhere good, and it does us nothing good. Which is what makes Jesus' promise to continually send us the Holy Spirit such a beautiful promise. You have been born again, Peter wrote, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. Did you happen to catch what God asks you to do before he's going to love you? Did you happen to hear what Jesus said? Okay, if you start doing this, if you reach for this, and if you achieve this, then I'm going to forgive you. There wasn't any of that kind of talk from Peter, was there? Jesus said, I am going to send you the Holy Spirit. I am going to give you a new life. I am going to love you. I am going to forgive you. And he did all of that, didn't he? And the day of Pentecost was God's proof that this is true. And every time Jesus comes to you in his word and he reminds you this is true, he reminds you that he takes your dead, dry, spiritual bones along with mine and he heaps them in a great big pile on Jesus. And Jesus carried all of them to the cross and he died for them. The things that still haunt you, the things that you still struggle with, the things that still trouble you, Jesus died for all of them. And they're buried in his grave, never to come back to haunt you again. The Spirit of the Lord does the impossible. He makes the spiritually dead alive. And he gives us strength, and he gives us confidence. So when you are feeling hopeless and helpless because maybe you think, well, I let God down too much, or I have way too many skeletons in my closet, or there's no way that God can undo all the sinning that I've done in my life, God doesn't tell you to dig down deep and find the answer. He doesn't tell you to struggle for it. He doesn't tell you, well, go make yourself spiritually alive again. Because we can't do that any more than this guy is going to become spiritually alive on his own. God promises to send the Holy Spirit into our hearts and our lives to give us confidence before God. Again, we go back to God's people, and God's people were hurting. God's people were helpless. God's people were hopeless because they knew. And do you think their guilt is any different than what we struggle with? Do you think their life situation is anything different than the problems that are on your plate today and the challenges that you are facing today? A lot of years ago, a different country, a different situation, but they struggle with the same things you and I do. And so they cried out to God. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Yet God comes right to each and every one of them and says, through the prophet, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live. I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. Such a promise must have meant the world to them. We left God, but God never left us. The same promise means the world to you and to me today, too. God has never left you. God will never forsake you. God continually works on your heart and on my heart through his word and through the sacraments. And God did just what he said. He renewed their spirits. First and foremost, he made their hearts alive again. And then he literally brought the people back out of the land of Babylon, back into their homeland. And those people are now resting with God today. The Spirit of the Lord does the impossible, and he will do the impossible for you too. He gives you a new heart that trusts in him. He puts your heart at peace with him, knowing that no matter what is hanging out in your closet, your Savior Jesus has taken care of it. Your Savior Jesus has dealt with it. Your Savior Jesus has buried it and done away with it forever. Jesus says to you, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Just about every high school has one. And sometimes they're creepy, sometimes they're uncomfortable, sometimes they're even hard to look at. So if you have something hanging in your closet, remember the Lord has done the impossible for you. He has made you alive. He has made you strong. He has made you confident. May God bless you today as we continue to celebrate the day of Pentecost, the day that guarantees we are new people in God, and we are God's own forever. May the Spirit of the Lord be with you today and always. Amen. Please stand. Having heard God's word and been assured of his promises and his great love for us, we confess our faith together using words on page 11 in the worship booklet. These words are from Luther's explanation of the third article on the Holy Spirit. I believe that I cannot, by my own thinking or choosing, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in true faith. In the same way he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and fully forgives all sins to me and all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead, and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true.
Please be seated as we gather the offering at this time.
In our prayer of the church this morning, we will remember the family of Mr. Roland Nisterchuk, who was called home to be with God. You may recall we've been praying for him and for his wife Elaine as Raleigh was in hospice care. So God has relieved him and Elaine of that burden, and Raleigh now rests with the Lord. So we will ask God to be with his family. We've also been asked to remember Mike Montai and Terry Jackson. Mike was brought safely through his open heart surgery, and Terry Jackson underwent a relatively simple outpatient procedure, and both are recovering well, so we ask God to continue to bless them. We've also been asked to remember our sister in the faith, Joy Malova, who underwent cancer surgery a number of months ago and then intensive chemotherapy, and she is now healing and resting at home, and she asked that we would ask God to continue to bless her recovery and thank God for the success of that treatment. Let us pray. Almighty, eternal, heavenly Father, on the day of Pentecost, you poured out the Holy Spirit upon your church, enabling your apostles to witness to all nations concerning your wonderful works. We thank you that by your Spirit we have been called to faith in Christ Jesus, given power to believe your word, and gathered into the fellowship of your holy church. Sanctify us, that we, purged of our sins and sinfulness and unrighteousness, may be prepared for every good work. To this end, aid us by the witness of your Spirit to know more deeply and truly the Holy Scriptures, that we may become increasingly wise for salvation. Stir up your church, O Lord, and work within her walls a zeal to seek the lost, to bind up the brokenhearted, to heal the afflicted, and to cheer all that mourn. Give your Spirit room in our homes, that he may lead every child who bears your name into the paths of love and obedience, and endow every parent with an understanding heart and gentle ways, that together our families may adorn our faith in you with godliness and honor. To all who are in trial or tribulation, the sick, the weary, the oppressed, the fearful, the anxious, the needy, and the lonely, give peace that can only come through you. We ask that you let their cry come to you, O Lord, and grant them all things needful. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the way that you granted the one needful thing to our brother Raleigh Nisterchuk. We thank you that you made him your own through holy baptism. We thank you that following a difficult time, that you have released him from that trial and called him home to be with you. We thank you for the rest he now enjoys and the victory he enjoys at your side. May that picture give rest and encouragement, especially to his wife Elaine and also to his children and grandchildren. May this be a time that they rally around you, anticipating the great day when they will be reunited with you and with Raleigh forever in heaven. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you brought Mike safely through his open heart surgery. We thank you also for the peace and the comfort that you shared with him and with his family leading up to the surgery. We ask that during the difficult recovery that you would be with him and bless those who tend to him as you bless those who perform the surgery. We ask that you also keep Mike close to you. And dear Heavenly Father, there is really nothing minor about anything that afflicts our bodies. So we thank you that you brought Terry safely through his procedure as well. We thank you for the opportunity we had to share a devotion and to reflect on your goodness. We thank you for preserving Terry and his life. May he recover quickly so that he can continue to be a joy to his wife and to his church family, and above all, live his life as a child of God. And finally, dear Heavenly Father, we remember our sister Joy Malova and ask that you continue to bless her rest and healing. We rejoice with her that all her treatments were successful. We thank you for removing the cancer from her body through the skillful surgeons. We ask that you would bless her and help her to heal and help her to rest. Assure her that her brothers and sisters remember her and are praying for her. Finally, through your Spirit, bestow your grace on us that we may ever walk in the light of your presence, both here and hereafter. We ask all this confidently in Jesus' name, and we set these requests before your mercy seat, trusting that you will hear and answer us according to your good and gracious will. Amen. Our worship continues with hymn 184, and please note that the service booklet announces there is a musical interlude between each of the stanzas of the hymn. Number 184. Thank you. Please stand for our closing prayer and blessing. Almighty God, grant to your church the Holy Spirit and the wisdom that comes from above. Let nothing hinder your word from being freely proclaimed to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, so that we may serve you in steadfast faith and confess your name as long as we live. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Spirit, my dear, I
Good morning again, and thank you for taking time out of your Memorial Day weekend to be here. A special welcome to our worship guests. If you are new to St. Mark's, I would be more than happy to visit with you briefly in the back of church afterwards, and if it works for you to set up a time in the week ahead to come and visit with you, I'd like to be able to connect you with St. Mark's, and more importantly, connect you further to Jesus through our ministries. So I look forward to meeting you in the lobby after worship. Thank you very much to our musicians. This morning is absolutely beautiful. You praised God and you enhanced and beautified our worship. So thank you very much for your time and talents. As was mentioned in the prayer of the church, Raleigh Nisterchuk passed away this last week. His funeral service will be 10 o'clock on Tuesday morning at Mount Vernon Chapel. So if you go to Mount Vernon, we will know exactly which chapel we will be in on Tuesday morning. And then there's going to be a private committal, and then the family is having a private reception afterward. So remember Raleigh's family in your prayers. Also, we have open forum part two today. We didn't have a lot of time for your feedback and your comments, and so we'll take the Bible study hour one more time this Sunday to hear your feedback on what was presented to you. And again, the purpose of doing that is to get us well-informed and ready for our June voters meeting. So please stick around for the open forum during the Bible study hour. And a daughter of St. Mark's, Erica Peterson, recently graduated from Wisconsin Lutheran College, and she now has a job with Wells Kingdom Workers. Some of you are more familiar with that program than others, but one of the things that Wells Kingdom Workers does is provides witness opportunities for us, especially for students. Erica is heading up the organization and fundraising for a mission trip to Provo, Utah, connected with Speaking the Truth in Love to Mormons, the Truth in Love Ministry. The dates for that mission trip are June 30th through the 20th or June 20th through the 27th. And they need about 10 volunteers. If you would like more information about, one, volunteering for that, or two, how you can help support those who will be doing that mission work, please speak with me, and then I will get you in touch with Erica Peterson, and then she can help you with that. So again, the dates for the mission opportunity, June 13th through the 20th of 2015, and also June 20th through the 27th. If you would like to do that or help fund that, let me know, and I will get you in touch with Erica. Please feel free to visit with one another before you're ushered out today, and may the peace of the Holy Spirit be with you today and always.